Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
And we're so blessed. I know you're going to receive a deposit and an impartation. And if you weren't able to come to the conferences, go online. And David, we're going to put them on our website, aren't we? Yes, we're going to put them on our website. He said, now I will. So we're going to put those on our website if you missed what happened in these last conference sessions. But don't forget to come out tonight. But right now, I am so blessed to have a general in the house. Mel Tari, come on up here, Mel. Come on. Let's just give a warm Summit welcome for Mel Tari. This man is amazing. This man, oh, he's amazing. He carries such a mantle. And I am indebted to this man personally. There was a revival that hit San Marcos. And in the 70s, in 1975, my mother went to that revival down the street, right down the street in the old Trinity building. And in 1975, my mom was born again. And he was in those meetings. And he was a young man in those meetings. He was probably only 2 years old, since he's only 40-something right now. But he was in the meetings, and my mom got saved there, got delivered, and totally shifted there's a whole nother story, but then she prayed for me 7 years, and I was the first out of 10 kids then who was born again. 7 years later, I was born again and came into the kingdom. But it's just amazing to see this man is a champion, to see what's happened. Even as he shares with you, it's not like something he's sharing theory that he hasn't seen. He's seen God do amazing things that are just amazing, you know, walking on water and raising the dead and seeing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people get saved in a 6-month time. He's not coming to tell you just a sermon. He's coming to leave you a deposit of what's in his life. So today we just draw on, lift your hands, just stretch them this way. We draw on the anointing and the gift. We draw on this deposit from this mighty general. We draw on it, God, and we receive. And we know, God, that there's watermarks that have been set, but we can follow, we can do greater works. So we receive today, and we receive from the anointing, and we receive this man of God with all the love. And somebody in the house said, amen.
Amen. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning, but I'm even more glad that Jesus is in the house. And because Jesus is in the house, this first Summit Go conference will impact not only you and I, it should, but because it impacts you and I, it's going to impact this city, it's going to impact this state, it's going to impact America, and it's going to impact the nations. The master storyteller told a story. And he said the good shepherd has 100 sheep. One of them, because he was born in America, and he went to San Marcos College, he decided he's going to do it, whether anybody else agree with him or not. So he walked out from the kraal in South African, from the corral, you know, the house, the barn. And he went gallivanting somewhere up the hills that before all the houses, you know, over Twin Oaks Road, the other side were built. Well, fortunately for him, he would have been eaten by the wild animals. But the great shepherd loved him. The great shepherd could have said to himself, oh, well, I have 99 here, just one loss, 1%, well, that's not too bad. No, sir. One is very important for the great shepherd. He went and found him and bring him back home. And he said to the people, rejoice with me for this one that I found. And the interesting part about the story is that heaven will have more joy because of the one that come back. And then the story continue about the lady with the 10 coins, and one of them just drop off. And if you are a coin, where you drop somewhere, unless somebody purposely and intentionally decide to get you, you can't go nowhere. You know, that coin probably was under the table or under the couch or in the corner somewhere, and that coin probably thinking to itself, I'm doomed. I don't know how I fall off her neck, but here I am under this couch or under this corner, and unless somebody miss me and intentionally come to find me, I'll be here forever and rusted under this couch. Somebody, ladies and gentlemen, has to miss that coin and intentionally do something to find it. That is why we have this mission conference here. Because this mission conference is a time where God is going to put a passion in our heart for the lost. And we're going to say to ourselves, we as a church, myself as a person, I am not going to be sitting there rejoicing, but I purposely, intentionally going to do whatever I need to do to find that coin that is helplessly under the couch and will never move anywhere until I do something. The destiny of somebody, whether they're going to go to hell or to heaven, depends on your intention and my intention. Your neighbor might never heard about Jesus unless you intentionally said, hey, you know, do you know Jesus? Or say something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this mission conference here this morning, God will put an intention, a desire. He will propel your heart and mind to do something for the one that is lost, that couldn't do anything else unless you and I do something about it. The story continued. The master storyteller talk about the father that has two sons. Well, this boy decide to do whatever he want to do, and nobody's going to stop him. Typical American. You know, they can't wait to be 18 and have their own apartment or whatever that is. You know, don't tell me not to do whatever I want to do, because it don't matter what you tell him. They have all the reason why they should do what they would like to do. All right, all right, all right. But then when you are away from the father's house, ladies and gentlemen, there's a day coming that's going to catch up with you. And you're going to decide, you know what? You know, it's not too, you ain't too bad in papa's house. So this young man decided to come home. And the story today, the story of mission, is that when he was far away, father rose and ran toward him and hugged him and kissed him and welcomed him back to the house. And he said to the people, let us celebrate. So I came this morning to you, ladies and gentlemen, with a message from the heart of the Father. Let us celebrate. Let us rejoice. Let us have a party, because something great is taking place in our generation. Can you imagine the first summit in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago in Galilee, the mountain that Jesus designated for the 11? They were there, they see him, they saw him, they hear his voice, they hear his command. And ladies and gentlemen, they made his last command the first priority. Mission is making his last command, go unto all the world, our first priority. And Thomas made his last command his first priority by going all the way to India. And 2,000 years later today in India, you can find people that love Jesus and worship him in that great continent among the billions that doesn't know him. They went everywhere. The first summit in Jerusalem impacted nations up to this day. And I'm excited and praise God for that. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited about this summit. Because the summit in Jerusalem, you and I went there. We are born 2,000 years too late. We rejoice for what God did. But he did it with the other guys on the other side of the world. And they have been faithful in making his last command their first priority. It's good with them. But ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm excited about this summit conference is that you and I can be a part of it. It is not just a history about what somebody else is doing in their generation. This is our story. This is something that we're going to be a part of it. You can read about Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and get excited. But let me tell you, when you see somebody raised from the dead in front of your nose, well, you get a little more excited than what happened to Lazarus. Not that it was so nice it happened to Lazarus, but I tell you what, it kind of have a little kind of different feeling when you are there. I know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, because one day we were in the village and this man has kicked the bucket for 2 days. And the Lord told her to stand around and sing. Well, we didn't know how that's going to happen, but we did. You know, obeying Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, will always release heaven to do that which only heaven can do. So we sang a couple of songs. The man woke up. That's just the best way to explain it. People said to me, you know, how did a man raise from the dead? I said, I don't have a clue. When Jesus did something, it's a little beyond what our mind can understand, you know. You know, I mean, we all are brilliant, but, you know, we just can't figure out everything. You know what I mean? There's always somebody smarter than us, but let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Obedience to the word of God make all the difference. So the team stood around this dead man. He came back to life, and he told us, he said, I tell you what, there's life after this life. You know, some expert try to brainwash us by saying, you know, when you die, it's all over. But the expert who said that has never been dead and came back. So how did he know what he's yakking about? You know? But this guy has been dead for 2 days and he came back and he said, there's life after that life. I will go by his testimony than any expert in town, mind you. And he said, heaven and hell is real. I was over there on the other side. And he said, the only way to go to heaven is if you find Jesus here in this life and accept him into your heart. Because for God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. Eternal life is wrapped up in the gift that God gave us. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. Just in case you're watching this later on or you're here this morning and you haven't received that gift, do yourself a favor. This is not for me. You think preachers were trying to jam something something down your throat? No, sir. You know, you accept Jesus because it's good for you. It's good for you for eternity. You know, do yourself a favor. Accept the gift of eternal life that God has for you. And so, when that man was raised from the dead, 20 plus thousand people came to the kingdom and accepted Jesus, and it was great. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Miracles are not for the entertainment of the saints. It is for the conversion of the sinner. And I tell you something, if you are looking for the lost, heaven will do anything and everything that heaven can do in order to support you to bring the lost back to the Father's house. That is why in our brochure that you have in this Go conference here, we read there about Mark chapter 16. They went forth and preached the gospel. We didn't quite finish it because there's no room in it probably. And God worked with them with signs following. When you pursue Jesus and you pursue the lost, miracles and heaven pursue you. And you'll be surprised as to what God is going to do. And so, miracles will happen, and God and heaven will release any miracle that is needed in order for the lost to come back to the Father's house. And that's why the Father said to the people, let us celebrate. One person come to Jesus, cause heaven to celebrate and to rejoice. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are living in a generation where we're going to see celebration today and the rest of our life. Because this generation, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that there's a few things that's going to happen like the church has never seen before. Paul will be a little jealous, but that's okay. He's over on the other side, so he can handle that. But in Paul's time, way 2,000 years ago, there were about 100 million, somewhere there roughly, of people alive in those days. And tons of them came to the kingdom, and that was good. But you know what? We have 7 billion people plus alive today. And I tell you, that is, you know, like fishing in the aquarium, the way I look at it, you know. We have tons of people. I used to be here in San Marcos 42 years ago. My house is over across Nordel Road, the other side, the east side of 78. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole hills here were empty. Just, you know, just a few cows and whatever around here. But today, 40 years later, we have tens of thousands of people that have moved onto the hills here. I can't believe how many people that are here in San Marcos area. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is the time to celebrate. If we catch the heart of the Father that love the lost that come back home. If we know that heaven is doing something in our generation, we don't want to miss out of it. And that is why this first summit mission conference. That's why you're here. Because ladies and gentlemen, there are 7 billion people that are out there. When the Holy Ghost came to my church 52 years ago, we saw the fire, we heard the sound of the wind, and we were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Lord told us to go out the next day to share the gospel, and we did. The first 6 months, we have 80,000 people came to know Jesus. And I'm telling you, today millions of them all over the world came to know Jesus. I was in this Vietnamese Vietnamese church up in Portland here last November. And the pastor told me, he said, Mel, I want you to know this. I said, what? He said, we took your book 30 some years ago, Like a Mighty Wind, and translated it into Vietnamese. And as a result, 1 to 1.5 million people in the highlands of Vietnam come to know Jesus. Well, I said, that's great. You see, when you talk about the lost, ladies and gentlemen, heaven will do anything to see to it that the lost will come. That's why the father said to the servant, kill the fatted cow, give him the robe, got him the ring, spare no expense. Let us celebrate. Because you see, the father, heaven will have more joy when one sinner came to Jesus. But I tell you what, heaven's going to have so much joy. You're going to hear it reverberating in the mountains. The stars will be sparkling. Oh, the waves will rise. The birds will sing. The angels will rejoice. Because this is the generation, ladies and gentlemen, that will see literally millions, and I say millions, come to Jesus. It's going to take you and I to make it happen. You and I is going to make it happen. We are the one that's going to bring Jesus to our neighbors. We are the one that's going to tell them that they need to come to Jesus. Millions of them come to know Jesus. Millions of them are going to be from the Muslim world that come to know Jesus. And for that to happen, ladies and gentlemen, heaven is not going to be stingy. Heaven's going to release anything that needs to be done to make it happen. Let me tell you a story. Next week, I'm going to be in Argentina. And pastor that arranged the meeting, his name is Pastor Pedro. Pastor Pedro's probably in his 70s now. I'll find out next week here when I see him. But 30 years ago, whenever that was, Pastor Pedro read Like a Mighty Wind. And so he said, oh, that's great. You know, those guys over in the island there, Jesus, they encounter Jesus. They love the loss. They have passion for Jesus and passion for the lost. So they went everywhere and preached the gospel. So Pastor Pedro said, I'm not going to be left out in this deal here. So he began to go out to the northern part of Argentina to preach the gospel. It is the rural area by the Brazilian and the Paraguayan country. So he went up there. Now when you get up to that region, you come to a point where for hours at least, or for miles, there is no gas station or population centers because it was kind of like rural farming community. So Pastor Pedro was driving up, and in a point in the middle of nowhere, now Argentina is a big country, so you can understand that, the car conked out. The engine quit. So he tried to, you know, look under the hood then, see, well, it doesn't seem to be like anything wrong. Try to start it and do whatever he can. Nothing happened. And then he said, I wonder why this car just died on me. And then he realized, and he looked at the gauge. Oh, I know why. There's no gas left in the car. Well, that's another problem. It's one thing to know you got a problem. That's the first way to solve it. But it's another thing to get stuck in the middle of nowhere and you don't know how to solve the problem that you know you got. So he said, oh Lord. And he looked to the side and there's a water, a little stream, you know, flowing over the other side of the river. I mean the car. And he said, Lord, I don't need water to be turned into wine. The guys in Timor, Indonesia, where Mel came, they need it because they need to use it for the communion service. That's fine with me. But he said, what I need is that water to be turned into gasoline so I can go preach the gospel and reach the lost a couple hours from here. So he took the jerry can, filled it up with water, filled up the gas tank, and he filled it to the brim, put the hubcap or whatever you call the thing back, sit in front of the driver's side and said, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the miracle, start the car, and the car started. Drove for hours and hours and hours to go where he need to go to find the lost. Remember the point here, the miracle happened not so that he can drive around going to the movies and enjoying whatever. The miracle happened, ladies and gentlemen, because he was on his way to find the lost. And when you are on your way to find the lost, you are in tune with the Father's purpose. And when you are in tune with the Father's purpose, you have access unto the Father's power, the Father's presence, and the Father's provision. So the miracle took place. He drove for hours, get to the town. When he got to the town, the people said, we can't come to your meetings because it has been drought here for years. We are starving. He said, I tell you what, if you come to the meetings, 3-day meeting, when the meeting is over, the rain is going to come, the drought is going to be over, and not only the drought is going to be over for this time, you will never have a drought ever again. And so they said, well, if that's what you say, preacher. So they came to the meeting. People got healed, got safe, and whatnot. The day he left the town, the rain came down, the drought was over, and not only it was over then, the drought has never come back again. So ladies and gentlemen, next week, I'm going to meet Pastor Petro. I think it probably will be good to take a picture of me and him, you know, and just thank God, not only for the water that was turned into wine in my little island about 60 times in the early days of the revival, but I want him to retell me the story how God took that water and changed it into gasoline so he can go and reach the lost for Jesus. I think that is one selfie that I would like to take. You know, because it is a testimony of the nature of God. If your heart and our heart as the church is for the lost, heaven will do anything that heaven can in order to facilitate, in order to make it possible for the lost to come to Jesus. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited about this generation. This is the generation that will see millions come to Jesus. This summit conference is the conference that will have an impact to the nations 2,000 years forward if Jesus tarries. And because, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God is doing something great in this generation. Oh, I have seen him change water into wine, make the blind to see and the crippled to walk. I can tell you stories how we crossed the river and the water never come any higher than our knees, you know. And then when we came back a month later, people told us we walk in water. I said, what do you mean walking in water? They said, well, because after you guys crossed, we went through the same place, but we can't do it. On the first step, we almost drowned because the water is 30 feet deep. How did you guys get over to the other side? You know, the water never come any higher than your knees. You must be walking in water. How did it feel? I said, I wish I knew we were walking in water. I would have stopped in the middle there and take a little selfie. There's no phones in those days anyway, and kind of enjoy the miracle. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, the miracle is not to entertain the saints. Can you imagine if God does that miracle somewhere here in America? We got so wrapped up with the miracle that we forgot to go reach the lost. Not that you will, but I'm just talking. Oh, we didn't know that the miracle happened because our heart was pursuing Jesus, pursuing the lost, making his last command our first priority, always, today, and ever. Because this is celebration time, ladies and gentlemen. We celebrate that God is doing something in our generation to make a difference. I'm looking forward to see Pastor Pedro here. I told you last night about Pastor Rodolfo. Oh, I can tell you about other people all over the world that God has done great miracles in their life, you know. I can tell you about the Irish ministry in Mozambique. This last 20 years, we have seen over 5,000 churches established. Over 150 plus people raised from the dead. You know, the deaf hear, the blind see, all kind of miracles. But all of that happened, ladies and gentlemen. gentlemen, because we pursue the loss. When you pursue the loss, you'll be surprised what heaven is going to do in order to make it possible for the loss to come to know Jesus. And so this is the generation, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to see millions and millions come to Jesus. I can't wait. Oh, glory. We're going to see them come to Jesus. But help me out here, somebody. I'm going to Brazil. I'm going to India. But I don't have enough time to hang around, you know, San Marcos area here. But you guys are here, and so I'm here. I'm asking you a favor. Please do it for me and for Jesus. When you go to the Walmart, you go to the restaurants or something, you know, you are the one that need to tell them about Jesus. You are the Billy Graham that can tell them about Jesus. You know, I have this little habit or way to do it. You don't have to do it the way I do it, but you know, I'm just telling you how easy it can be done. When I go to the restaurant and the waitress are nice and helping, I usually say, "What's your name, honey?" She said, "We are Susie." I said, "Susie, you are a beautiful person and you have been helping and I appreciate it. You know what? I'm on my way to heaven. Not only it is fun today that I enjoy, you know, lunch in your restaurant or dinner, it would be fun if you too will be part of the life in heaven that God has for you. So Susie, if you don't mind, why don't you ask Jesus to come to your heart? Because I may have never seen you ever again. This is the only time I pass by here. But I would like to see your beautiful face in heaven, if you don't mind." And you know what? When you butter them up a little bit like that, you know, it's kind of hard for them to refuse, you know. Once in a while, there's a dumb one that refuses, but most people don't do that. They will say, "Hey, how can I receive Jesus?" And it's easy. It is a gift from the Father for you. And I have seen them come to Jesus just like that. Now, you don't have to do it the way I do it, but the Holy Ghost, if you have the heart for the lost, the Holy Ghost will give you the wisdom how to talk with them. Or some people, like Chad was telling us, he prayed for the lady in the store there and she got healed. Well, after she got healed, she won Jesus. So whichever way, ladies and gentlemen, that it needs to be done, I'm telling you, God's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to release the power. He's going to make it possible, because the Bible, Jesus said, when one sinner comes to Jesus, not only heaven rejoice and the angels rejoice. It said there in the Bible, the Father said, "Let us celebrate." This is celebration time. This is the generation. This is the generation. When I drove this morning over here and I saw the 10,000 of people that live in these empty hills that don't used to be here when I was here 40 years ago, I said, "Lord, there's plenty of them around this region here that need to know Jesus. Let them know Jesus. And let it be that because of this summit conference, all my friends are going to rise. And they're going to be the Billy Grahams. They're going to be the voice of heaven that will reach their neighbors for Jesus." Let's do it, ladies and gentlemen. It is time. Eternity is too long for somebody not to know Jesus in eternity. Hell is too bad for even your worst enemy to go there. So let us do something about it. This is the generation that's going to see the millions come to Jesus. The billions, as a matter of fact. And you and I can be part of what God is doing in our time. And he is going to release his power unprecedented. But also another thing that God's going to do is that he is going to release the funds in order for us to go to Brazil, for the team to go to Mozambique, and for gas in your car to drive over the hill to go visit your neighbor and tell them about Jesus. So today, ladies and gentlemen, ushers, if you can come right now, please, and give these two pieces of papers to everybody that is sitting here, please. Everybody, let's ushers help so we don't have to take too much time doing that. But while those papers are coming your way, let me explain it. This is the first time that Summit Church is doing this. And I'm excited about it because I've been involved with this for over 30 years in the nations of the world. And the result has been literally heartwarming. It has been wonderful, and God is going to do it. Now, you're going to receive two pieces of papers. Come with the skinny one, or no, not the wider one, the first one over here, please. And it said here, Mission Faith Promise Card. And this card here it is my sincere desire to commit myself and my finances to the vision of Summit Adventure International for worldwide evangelism. As an expression of that desire, I promise to exercise my faith as indicated on this card. This faith promise is a commitment between myself and God for the next 12 months. What it means is this. You have your tithe and offering. Let it go, the tithe to the church, the offering as the Lord speak to you. But this faith promise is a commitment, is a faith. You are simply saying to God, God, on the next 12 months, if you give me money that I don't know where it come from, you just bless me somehow, some way, I am going to commit that amount for mission. Because we're going to partner together with the church so that we can go to the nations to bring the gospel to them. And if the Lord speak to you, you can choose either a one-time gift or a monthly gift. And let us say the Holy Spirit speak to you that you're going to give $100 a month. This is not the part of the tithe and offering, mind you. This is something that you're going to trust God to release it to you. And this is the point. If God doesn't give you the money, that $100 for that month, you have no obligation to give it. But if it show up and God bless you with it, then you promise to give it for the mission fund that according to the faith promise. And another thing to remember, nobody is going to call you up every month and say, where is that $100? It's not going to be done because this is a promise between you and God. If God supply the money, you'll put it in for your faith promise. If it's not there, then it's not there. Nobody's going to bug you. We just keep on believing God that he's going to bless you and you're going to put it in. Now, husband and wife, you can talk it over. If the wife agree for 100 a month, and the husband and the wife said, honey, 200, go with the woman. You know, the woman is always wise and she knows what she's talking about, okay? But if you're single, you can do it now or you can do it later. The whole month is going to be mission month. So you can put this. Make sure you put your name so that Pastor Teresa knows that this is for real. You know what I mean? So put your name in and information that is there. And you can mark, you know, $10 a month, $100, $1,000, whatever that is. And if the money comes, if God supplied, you pitch it in, okay? If he doesn't, no harm, no foul, okay? So it's not risky at all. It is just you believing God for something extra he's going to do for your finances for the sake of mission. Let me tell you a story. I have all kinds of stories because we have done this for 30 years. And, you know, I can talk your ears off, you know, with the miracles that happen. But let me just tell you one. I was in Australia, and this potato farmer came, and we gave him the piece of paper. So he put in, let us say, an amount. And he was about to put it in the bucket, and the Holy Spirit said to him, double it. He said, Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to come up with the money, you know, for the one I wrote down already. Now here, you double it. And the Holy Spirit said, you do it, because it's not going to be you who come up with the money. I am the one who's going to bring the money your way. So you just do it. So I said, all right. So he put the double amount, whatever, in the paper. Well, and that year was, they call it the 100-year drought that happened once in a while in Australia. And when you're a potato farmer and the rain ain't coming, you can kiss the potato goodbye. And that year, all the potato farmers in the region have no crop whatsoever. It was unfortunate, but that is the way it was. But something unusual happened. Our farmer, faith promise guy, his farm was just blossoming like nobody else's business. And by the time the harvest came, he got the biggest potatoes and more potatoes per whatever acre than he has ever seen all his years farming. Now, so he got himself a ton of potatoes. And not only he got himself a ton of potatoes, but you see, the other farmers don't got nothing. So he was the only one with the potatoes. You know the law of supply and demand. So the price of potatoes just kind of double up or triple up. And so he sold the potatoes that year, and he got enough money for his faith promise for the year and plenty left over for his bank account. Because he made a promise with God, and God supplied the money, and he gave it. And that money go to mission and has made a difference in the life of many. Well, unfortunately, I have some stories to tell, but the next service is coming. So if you hold that paper in your hand right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to all my friends here how much they can believe you monthly or one time for the mission fund for Summit Mission here. You tell them, Lord, and then they will obey you, whatever it is. And once they put it down, you'll just have to make it happen. And when you bring in the money, they'll give it. And so I thank you, Father. Bless my friends here. Let us all be a part of the great thing that you're doing in our generation. Time to celebrate, because the souls are coming. Nations are being transformed. And the good part of the story is that we are going to participate in our finances to be a part of what the church is doing worldwide. This will be our story. This will be our privilege in making Jesus' last command our first priority.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.